Topic of computer viruses, or viri, I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but shockingly, you don't find it discussed in the Rishonim as much as you might expect. But even the early Achronim don't talk about it that much. But in contemporary Sfarim, it is talked about. And there are a number of discussions, but many of them point to a discussion by Shlomo Dachovsky, very prominent Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. They recently published a sefer of his collected writings. I don't think this is in that sefer, although I could check again. But there was an article that he wrote that was published in this journal called Shari Tzedek, which is in general a Choshen Mishpat oriented journal. I think we'll have opportunity to refer to it again in the near future, God willing. But he has an article here which is called Ta'internet Bahalacha. So not all of that is Choshen Mishpat related. But at the very beginning, he talks about viruses. And, sorry?
The name of the
Mechabez of Shlomo Dachovsky Shlita. So here, this essay about viruses is one that many other Sfarim that have been written even later than this. What year is this? Didn't even check. Doesn't even say. Okay, what year? What's the date here? Not clear, but it wasn't so long ago. But Sfarim that have been written in the past few years have quoted this. It's interesting, there's no date anywhere. Okay, but in any event, not so old. So Sfarim that have been written more recently have commented, some to agree, some to disagree, on this essay about viruses. So let's first at least get this presentation out, and we'll see. Maybe we'll share some of what some of the other Sfarim have said, but at least for today, let's try to share what Rav Dachovsky has to say. So he begins with the question of whether Aish is the appropriate categorization for a virus. So again, this kind of segues from one topic to the next in terms of what we've been up to. I should also mention at the outset that in general, as we're talking about Chiyuvei Nezikin, so we often find, like we've talked about recently, that there is a chiyuv or a ptur on a level minat Torah, on an absolute level as far as dinei avos nezikin are concerned, and then very often there is a separate level as far as dinei shamayim, as far as what should be done, let's say l'ftim mishur sadin or somewhere in between. So we're talking about somebody who's intentionally creating and spreading computer viruses. We're dealing with a pretty high level of evil here. So it's no question that we want to have some way to deal with this, but the first step is just to analyze whether Meikar Hadin, as far as the Avos Nezikin are concerned, is there a clear chiyuv in one of those categories? Were there not to be? So then the next step is to look at it from those other categories, as we've often found to be relevant. But just initially, we have to look at it from the absolute Ikar Hadin, and that's where the discussion starts. Should also mention that it's hard to look at this topic objectively, because again, you're dealing with a pretty high level of evil, of people who would deliberately create something designed to just mess with people's work and possibly people's life work and create this phenomenal chaos in people's lives. Occasionally, you can imagine, for example, what was going on with Iran a few years ago, where something could be utilized in a positive sense to save the world from a terrorist nation. So, okay, there are a couple of examples you could think of where a virus could be put to good use, but for the most part, when they're created by people who are just trying to hurt other people in such a frustrating way, it's very hard to feel any kind of sympathy. But in any event, to try to look at it somewhat objectively, So the initial assumption here is that it is an aspect of Eish. Right? Why is it compared to Eish? Does that resonate with you? Okay, so who's the Koach Acher?
The person sending up and then being sent through the cyberspace.
Okay, so the cyberspace really is the Koach Acher. Perhaps it's also the cooperation of other individuals along the way, whether willing or unwilling, witting or unwitting. But the person who creates it seems to be comparable to somebody who's setting a fire. And essentially, this is a form of kocho. This is a person sending something out there through the tools of the internet and all of the various hardware that's associated with it. But essentially, it sounds like it's a type of Eish. So hopefully you've had a chance to see the Gemara and Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. It's one of the more often quoted sugyas in Bava Kamma, the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Do we say Eish of Mishum Chetzav or Eish of Mishum Mamono? Do we compare the impact of Eish to one's arrow or to one's property that got loose? And there are a number of ramifications for one position or the other. They affect a couple of things. But just on a more basic level here, do we say that when you start a fire and that fire goes and damages something, that that is like your direct action, just as a arrow would? And that's a form of kocho, like we spoke about yesterday in a very different context, a more positive context yesterday. Or should we say that your fire is like a wild animal? So just like your wild animal, if it's your property, so then you are liable for what it does, Mishum Mamono. So therefore, A should be seen the same way. Now, there is a possible detail that could make a difference. So that detail being, what if Kalulo Chetziv? What if your initial arrow has ceased to have its power? Rashi translates that as that the time when you set the fire, which is compared to shooting the arrow, it would not at that point have been able to do the damage that it's doing now. So whether that's still, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that called Chetzio? So apparently no. Rabbi Yochanan would agree that's called Mamono at that point. And any damage that happens after that, that's like your property that got loose, and that is Mamono. And there is a Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosus over there that if the Gacheles that starts the fire is not actually yours, whether that's going to be in the category of Mamono. And the halacha is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, if you had a chance to see. We passing like Rabbi Yochanan, the Eish of Mishum Chetzav, and the language of the Shulchan Aruch is Eish Sha'avra, the Hizika Esa Adam Mechavlaba, if you started a fire and the fire went and hurt someone. Harei HaMavir, Chayiv Benizko, Veshivto, Rifuyo, Vitzayr, Vishaso. And so the person who started the fire is chayiv in all of the five things that a chovel is normally liable for. Kiilu hiziku biyado. Right, so the ramifications of that being that essentially the fire is treated as the direct effect of the person who started the fire. And therefore you have the chiyuv of all five things. We'll discuss more in a minute that the five things that come together, the five payments that come together with chavala, are not always associated with nezikin cases, that essentially it's, as the Gemara we've talked about a while ago, tells us that it's only for Adam HaDa'azik Adam, a person who inflicts damage on another person. So that's where you have these five things. So it's a ramification of the fact that we're looking at this as essentially a hezek happening by a person, is kocho, his chaitz, so that's why you have the five things. Was it to be only mamono, so then you wouldn't have all of these other aspects. So the Shulchan Aruch continues, That even though the fire, you would say, what is it really? It's really the property of this person. Nonetheless, we view it as if you directly damage someone with your hands. V'hu, says the Shulchan Aruch, shahaya ha'esh roi lahagia sham l'makom shehizik. That's assuming that the fire was capable of reaching the place that it actually did its damage, b'shash v'hidlik, at the time when it was set. Avalam lohaya roi lahagia l'sham, if it couldn't have reached there, let's say, kigon shahaya gedder b'nehem. Let's say there was a wall in between. And the wall happened to then be removed independently. It's not that the fire burnt it down, but it was taken away afterwards. Then that's already considered to be as if the arrow is no longer in flight. And that's therefore considered to be mamono. So the other four things don't come along with that, because at that point it's called mamona. So it's important to figure out whether we're dealing with a hezek that's considered to be like an adam hamazik, or whether it's considered to be like a impact of one of the other categories, such as mamono, because that's not going to carry with it the other four things. Hi.
It looked like in the Shulchan Aruch that he was passing both ways in the machlokas for the Yochanan and Rish Lakish.
Okay.
It seemed like at first he says that it's Mishum Mamono, and then he says, and Hareza, that's like you did a chitz, that's Mishum Chatzio.
Well,
so it sounded like it was both.
I think he's saying that inherently it's Mamono, but that we see it as Chitzio.
Yeah, so he was passing Rabbi Yochanan.
Right. You know, that the character of the object is something that could have been compared to your property, but that's the chiddush of a brochen, and that we see it as the direct effect of your actions.
But that if it wasn't roi lagia,
then it's mamono.
Rabbi Yochanan would agree that it was like
right.
Rish Lakish and be paskin.
Exactly. Okay. Now he notes here Dachovsky that it's also relevant to look at the Hagolos Maimoni. I don't know if I put this on the list or not. Yudalid Vav quotes the Ri, and he notes that Lo Sheyavir Hu Ba'atzmo Ha'esh, it doesn't necessarily require that you always set the fire yourself. Ela Kol Mokum Shapasha V'lo Shimer Gachalto. That if you have a burning ember that you don't take care of properly, so the Mati Le Baruch Mitzuya, and it's predictable because a normal wind spreads it, so that's still chetzio. That's still considered to be your arrow. So, okay. Yes, Sam?
Where was that from?
Hagolos Maimoni. So far, sounds like a virus fits into the category of Esh. That's how he's understanding it. And that could be true, certainly, of the one who creates it, but possibly also somebody who received it from somebody else. That could be in that category that was described by the Ghost Maimoni as somebody who did not watch his gachelas. So if we do indeed passing like Rabbi Yochanan, it seems like that initial sending of the virus, that should be considered chetz. That should be considered like an arrow. And that which happens later may possibly be in a different category. And that category could be mamono, where there'll still be a chiyuv, but the chiyuv may be limited. Now, the truth is the chiyuv may be limited anyway, as far as the other components. You know, theoretically, something like Sheves could have been very relevant. Because question, sorry.
So, are we talking about when we're talking about later when a virus happens? We're talking about somebody who receives the virus and then unknowingly sends it to someone else, or knowingly sends it to someone else.
So certainly knowingly, but even unknowingly. So then we're going to have to figure out. And this is one of the details that he doesn't really discuss here so much, but it gets complicated. Part of the bottom line of this story, we're going to have to figure out what is considered responsible behavior regarding virus protection and the software and simple being aware There's all kinds of different tools that people use to cover up what they're doing. And it's an interesting question, which is not really going to get into here, and I think this is constantly a moving target of just how much should you be able to figure out when something is potentially a virus. There's why you sent out an email yesterday. I don't think this is a virus as much as it's a phishing campaign, or is that what it's called? A phishing effort, P-H-I-S-H, right, where they're trying to get information from you. But there's been emails going around the past few days that comes from the name of one of the provosts here. And if you've received any of these emails, I have. And it says something like, I need your help urgently, please call me today. And I don't know, I could tell that it's not so likely this person would be writing to me saying that, but I don't know. Could be that for others it's not so obvious. So it's an interesting question. At what point does it become, in the current climate, your responsibility to be able to realize what sounds legit and what doesn't sound legit, where you should be able to appreciate that something might not be legit, and also in terms of software and things that would detect this, is there an expectation that everybody's going to use that software? Does it matter whether it's your computer or someone else's computer? A lot of details which I think still are going to have to be figured out beyond all that. Hi, Sam.
I think you're going to be open on opinion. You've got to make an argument that when you just said that the original sending, if you're bouncing a review of them, that the original sending of the virus is like kind of something, anything after that, maybe you have to be a different category.
Possibly.
I mean, you can make an argument that it's all kinds of, right? Because in his opinion, he would agree that it's mumon if originally he didn't have the ability to spread elsewhere. Mm-hmm. If it did originally have the ability to spread elsewhere, would that be cool if that's all?
Possibly.
Because I would think someone might send out a virus, assuming that it has the ability to spread to more than just one person.
Right, so that's something still we have to figure out. But also, as far as the other four things, which is theoretically a very significant difference, for example, one of the categories that you can imagine being very relevant is Sheves. If a person is not able to work because his computer has been disabled by a virus, so one could easily imagine a significant monetary loss from that perspective, which, depending on what kind of scenarios they're talking about, that might be the motive of the person creating the virus, to cripple somebody's ability to work further. You know, the virus erases potentially or corrupts things that you already have, but also may freeze your computer, disable it from moving forward. So theoretically, there's what to talk about in terms of Shavuos there. The problem is that even if we say Mishum Chetzio, it's still going to be problematic because, as the Ktzos points out, that we really need it to be Adam on two sides. You need to have Adam Hamazik, and you need to have really Adam Hanizok. You need to have a straight Chavala, that to stop somebody from working, not because he is personally physically damaged, but rather his computer is damaged. So that's harder to put that in the category, and maybe impossible to put in the category of Shavuos. This comes up in a lot of other cases. This is, you could imagine lots of scenarios where there is a potential problem like that, but it's harder to put that in the Shavuos that we talk about. Shavuos is normally that the individual himself is physically damaged and is unable to work, and not that the tools that he uses to work. So you could imagine, for example, if somebody's a taxi driver or simply needs his car to get to his job, and you damage the car, then theoretically that's going to be a question that's going to come up there as well. You don't have to only come on to computers, but nonetheless it's going to be a problem getting a payment for that in a Me'ikar HaDin kind of fashion, one way or another. So another question to consider that he also discusses here is that when it comes to Aish, and God willing, this is something maybe we'll get a chance to see a little bit more about if we go to Hakones, the question of Tamun, that if there's something hidden within something else, so strictly speaking, that is also a Ptur when it comes to Aish. So is that going to affect things that are inside the computer? So here, very possibly not. As he points out, first of all, that the p'tur of Tamun is really when you light a fire on your own property and the fire spreads to somewhere else. But if you are madlik the fire within somebody else's property, so then you should be chayav on Tamun as well. Although there's what to discuss about whether it's just things that are normally expected to be concealed within such a setting. And things that are not, that could be a different story. So here, when it comes to the material inside the computer, it seems like that's what people do. They hide all kinds of things in their computer. And it's very little that it's going to be outside of that category. And it would seem like somebody should be chayiv, even in the category of Aish, even for something that's hidden inside of it. Yes, sir.
I mean, I would think that the case though is where he's like lighting the fire in his own property though.
In the first case, but he's sending the fire to someone. He's purposely sending the fire to someone else.
But that still is coming from his own property.
Right, but he's essentially starting the mazik in your property.
So how is that? When we're talking about the distinction between starting a fire in your own property versus your friend's property, isn't that about where was the fire created?
Yeah, but here you're purposely sending it there. It's not just that it starts in your house and spreads. It's that you're sending it to him on purpose. So you're creating the fire there. I think that's how it would be used. I hear where you're coming from, but I think still that's considered to be sending it into to start being mechakel in his computer, that's like sending the fire over there. It's like you're setting a fire in his computer. If you say that he's mazik biyadayim, you say that this is essentially an act that he's doing purposely into someone's computer, it seems like that's madlik b'toch shalo.
But if it was considered a fire before...
B'toch shalchaber, rather.
If it's considered an ish... before, like if how can you then consider it ish at all? Because the koach acher, I thought, was the cyberspace in between when it's sent. But if the ish is starting,
well, you also need the computer to function with it. Otherwise, it's not going to do any damage.
Meaning the koach acher then
is still the computer, right? It's all the parts, and then what happens afterwards may be a different category. Hi.
Just how do we know that destroying a bunch of files, that those count as far?
Ah, okay, that's a good question. So, all the questions are good questions. But that's something we have to get to. You mean, is that possibly a hezek shein
nikra? Hezek shein nikra, but I mean, I just know that in the sense of, Shem Hashem, in terms of being, I've heard.
Okay, right.
More, but it doesn't really count.
Okay, so that's an important question, so that we have to get to. Let's first figure out what the potential categories are, and then we'll see that.
Viruses might also ruin, like, the actual computer, though. They might render a computer unusable, I suppose.
That could also be true. That's
like a real... You're destroying a chefza.
Right, so the chefza no longer works because of that. So right. That for sure should be a hezek nikker thing. But if it's, let's say, just in terms of files... So is that viewed as a actual thing or not? That's an important question.
Yeah, there's also in Geneva, I think, some sort of ransomware.
Right. So that's also another interesting point, which I don't know if that was being done when this Maimer was written, because that's a whole other level where you're using that to extort money. So then that's got its own avarice connected to it. But first, one step at a time, if you're just trying to be mazik the files, to the shame being mazik the files, so what's exactly the chiyuv within that? Hi.
That kind of sounds fine, but wouldn't you need to make like a bit of a chiyuv in terms of viruses? That, I guess, one that you send to a computer, maybe it automatically does things, as opposed to someone where someone has to open it.
Yeah, very much so, and that's actually how we started this whole conversation, right? Because we were talking before this about comparable to the situation with the poison in front of the animal. So how do you view the sending of a virus? So before we wanted to settle on that point, we wanted to look at what the virus involves to begin with. You're absolutely right. Okay, so let's try to see a little bit more before we run out of time. So he discusses here also the potential in terms of bor. And the question you saw, the Gemara in Davav Mad Aleph, about could you see this as bor hamisgalgal bragli adam ragli behema, that if somebody leaves something that people can kick around and it's going to move from one place to the next and potentially cause a stumbling block for people, so is that perhaps the right category here?
How is that not it?
So the distinction that he's about to mention is the significant distinction that a boar does its damage passively. That people trip on it or people fall into it and then they hurt themselves against the boar. But a virus which is active goes and damages other people. That's where you have one major distinction. And also koach achem urubo is the factor for H, which is not the same as bor hamisgalgal, that it needed somebody to move it from one place to the next, but now it's doing its damage in a different location as a boar by itself. So it's two distinctions, that the boar does damage by itself passively, and H does this damage actively and with the wind's assistance. Question about that? So that's an interesting discussion also, so we'll see if we'll where they're meant to be compared. That's something we can also get to. Let's just get some of the parts on the table. So essentially he feels that really the proper category for this is simply Adam Hamazik, that the way the computer works and the way the predictability here is that you can see how one step leads to the other, that essentially this is really Adam Hamazik, that this is no different than somebody taking a sledgehammer and smashing your windshield, as we talked about the first day, that this is basically the way a person, Bisman Hazeth, through modern technology, is able to have a very long hand and to smash things from far away. So if that's the case, so then that should be considered something which is in the category of Adam Hamazik, and in that case you're not going to have any exemption of Tumun, for example, of things that are hidden. Although, still, it's not going to help you for Sheves, because even if it's Adam Hamazik, you still are not damaging the person, you're still damaging property, so it's not going to help you for some of the possibly very substantial side costs. Then he also adds, this is somewhat of a different type of Hezek, but he talks about Hakarim. Right, hi, question about that?
Yeah, so just to clarify, so we've taken it out of Ish, and we've taken it out of Bor, and we're saying now it's...
You could say it's simply Adam Hamazik doesn't really require Ish, at least in some forms. You know, that it's very possible that the whole chain is all predictable, it's all essentially one action. He takes here as a given, which is interesting. I wonder if you could disagree with this. But he says that he thinks that this is directly comparable, the reason they call it that, to a medical virus, to somebody who actually transmits illness through a virus. And he writes here, if somebody were to intentionally infect someone else with a physical virus, and through that many other people also get infected predictably. Would you ever think that the people who didn't come into contact with the first guy should be potter from them? So you know, maybe you would have thought that, but he's assuming it's a double potter, not that way, that if you're intentionally infecting somebody with a virus, then it's predictable and direct that this ends up impacting other people too, and that all of the computer viruses should be viewed the same way. Hi.
It's like a little bit on that, but you know, sometimes that happens where somebody will say that they have a cold, and then like I'm not going to give you a high five or a hug, and then that person's mochel anyway, and says, "No, come on, you give me a hug anyway." Is that can somebody even mochel that? Is there a certain responsibility that that person has for?
So that's not an interesting question, which is going to open up other
right.
issues. Here, just for now, he's talking about somebody who's intentionally trying to hurt someone else, which is very different than that scenario. Okay, so just to quickly get the relevant parts on the table here, and then maybe tomorrow I'll just mention there are a few svarim that have some points of objection to what he's stated here. But again, I think this seems to be the primary text on the issue of viruses, because many other svarim refer to this. So he also talks about hackers, and he talks about people who intentionally crash websites by sending a lot of traffic there at the same time, in a way that is designed to create the damage and the paralysis to that website. So he says, if you don't know what's going on, you innocently go to the website, and you happen to be the last person who is the straw that breaks the camel's back, and it gets crashed because you went there. So that's meisam achmas malacha. So that you're pater from. You're using something normally, and it happens to be that your normal usage creates this problem, so then that's meisam achmas malacha. But if this was done on purpose, if this was done as a plot, so many people will go at the same time, so then there is an interesting discussion about whether everybody is chayev or just the last one. So here, I think you had a chance to see the Din in the Shulchan Aruch and Chosh Mishpat Shinpei Aleph Aleph, that talk about many people who sit on a bench at the same time and they cause it to break, so then they are all chayev. Unless it's they were there from before and it wasn't breaking, and then one person comes and makes it now unable to hold everybody, and he sits in such a way that it prevents them from getting up, so then he bears the chiyuv himself. He thought this was the relevant model for that type of activity. And then he just adds here, and again, maybe this is this covers everything he has to say about this in our time slot for today. Tomorrow we do want to look at a different sugya, but I may add a few words what other svarim have had to say about this. But the bottom line is, he says that this is something that clearly is a tremendous danger to contemporary society, and this is the kind of thing that we have to create takanas for, that we have to make a policy across the board that we're going to view this as something real and as something damaging. And he compares it to the discussion of Hezek, Shein, and Iker. In the case of Hezek, Shein, and Iker, so even though there may be a Ptur, Meikir Hadin, but we made a takanas chachamim when somebody bemazed creates a hezek shein and iker, and therefore he says that's the right model here as well. Even if you say that it's a hezek shein and iker, but there too they made a takana. People shouldn't just be able to go around causing intentional damage in a non-physical way, but in a way that causes actual loss to other people. So too that should be affected here as well. There should be takanas made, and in the absence of that, he thinks the dina de malchusa dina should be the standard, and just as the law would recognize this theoretically as something actionable, so too we should take on that policy as well. So just a quick summary. So he looked at this from the perspective of Eish. Eish could either be considered like a chetz or like mamono, depending on the circumstance, and that may also be relevant here. Talked about the question of whether or not it's comparable to Bor and Misgalgil, of whether it's just a Adam Hamazik, and the question of whether it should be viewed through the context of extra takanos or Dina de Malchus Adina, and some of the nuances that have to be figured out, such as would it be able to apply to the Sheves components of, let's say, a disabled computer. It's very difficult because that would really only come along with Adam, the Ma'azik Adam, so we need to get it to be Adam on both sides, and at most we're able to get it as Adam Hamazik on the first side. But again, there's room for all kinds of other takanas to possibly be relevant here, and we really started this whole discussion because we're trying to figure out to what extent the person who gets caught by the virus is considered have done that himself, so to speak, in light of the sugya that we saw on Daf Mem Zayin. And I think that's also going to be somewhat subjective, because we have to figure out what the nature of that tour on the original guy is. Is it because of a grama, or is it because of something else? Here, when somebody's intentionally trying to do this, we have to figure out to what extent is the person who is victimized able to foresee this? Is there some kind of pshia in the way that he's dealing with things as far as affects other people? I think that's going to be a somewhat subjective assessment based on what's normal and what's predictable, and how much is it a relatively automatic process. There's all kinds of different viruses also, probably some that require you to open an attachment on an email from somebody who you could have figured out you don't know, others which maybe don't require that much of a active involvement on your part, others which may require just turning on your computer. So to what extent is that going to play into this? A lot of that is going to be totally on some subjective elements, but that's some of the basic material that we have to work with. Okay, so Bez Hashem tomorrow, I'll give you some more things to look about. Hopefully we'll start something new, but maybe we'll say a few more words about this as well. All right, everyone should have a wonderful...